the wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
I had to go through security, and my knee went off. And I was like, oh.
Your new metal knee?
Yeah, it went off. I said, I got nothing in my pockets. I said, I got a new knee here. And he said, okay, we got to do the deal there. So there's a young guy, got his gloves on, and he's saying, so your hands up and everything else. And he said, now, is there anything that's tender? And I said, oh, yeah. D's nuts.
Oh, you did not.
D's nuts, this guy. D's nuts are tender. He laughed. He almost fell backwards. He said, so what do you got that's tender? And I said, D's nuts. And
oh,
he just started.
Man.
He started laughing. And all these ladies around him were looking like, what's going on?
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up.
Wake them up, get them up, get them out. It is Thursday. Buck ons and buck offs on B&E all morning long. A lot to do over the next four hours of fun and conversation at 447-3776. That's the phone number. Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Buck on to you if you're listening, however you're listening to us. Appreciate you being here up early. Early bird gets the worm, as we say, whether you're listening on 104.9, on 101.9 FM, also on AM 1260. We stream it on the Horn app and always at hornfm.com. So much to dive into. Day of upsets, and for big name upsets out of Dell Match Play. Day one of the golf and the PGA Tour. We'll run through that. The Madness returns tonight, the Madness of March with Sweet 16 action. Got big games in the NBA, including an historic performance from LeBron James last night. And, hey, the Dallas Cowboys have signed a free agent. That's right. Week into it. Cowboys have signed a free agent. We'll tell you who that is coming up. Plenty of NFL. Sam Darnold went through his pro day yesterday out of a rainy Los Angeles, California. We'll get you results of that as well. Lot to do, Mr. Godbolt.
No doubt about it. Good morning to soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for the fantastic job you do each and every day. First responders, and of course, your teachers. We love you. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, first responders absolutely on a buck on Thursday for the work and apprehending and taking down the serial bomber going into and going towards a car that exploded. Absolute heroes to put an end to the madness of the last 3.5 weeks. Appreciate them very, very much every single day. We know we have a lot of law enforcement and first responders that do listen to this show. Thanks so much. Great work.
Yeah,
great
this
work.
This is a
collaborative
long 3 weeks.
Effort.
Yes.
Certainly was. So I don't know how much our friend Chief Manley has slept and most of his senior staff and staff.
Probably all night last night.
Hopefully finally got some rest. But a lot to dive into today. Busy morning. Let's start, as we do each hour, with the headlines of your Thursday morning. Ticket City update desk we go. And we'll start with the golf. Plenty of upsets day one at the Dell Match Play out at Austin Country Club. 5 of the top 16 seeds took outright losses in group play yesterday, biggest being the defending champion and world number one, Dustin Johnson. He struggled all day yesterday, never found a feel, and lost 3-1 to Bernd Weisberger. Remember, last year, Johnson never trailed, dominated the field en route to the championship. Not yesterday, not good at all. Phil Mickelson, who won earlier this month in Mexico, was a loser yesterday to Charles Howell III, 3-2. Rory McIlroy, 6th seed, who won last week at Bay Hill, struggled early, found himself down by 5 holes to Peter Ullmann. McIlroy rallied, strung together 5 straight birdies, made it close on the back nine, but not enough. Ullmann wins it 2-1. Remember, a year ago, only 3 players who lost their Wednesday opening round match made it all the way to Saturday in the knockout round. As for day one winners, Jordan Spieth was a winner, 2-1 over Charles Schwartzel. He had birdies on 13 and 14 to put that bad boy away. 2016 winner Jason Day cruised past James Hahn. Justin Thomas ranked 2nd in the world, needed all 18 holes, but did clinch against Luke List. Other day one winners, Sergio Garcia, Patrick Reed, Hideki Matsuyama, Paul Casey, and Lou Oosthuizen, who beat Jason Duffner yesterday. A lot of fun out at ACC. Day two today. Tees off about 9:30. Should be another beautiful day at the club. How about NBA last night? Spurs made it 5 wins in a row, beating Washington 98-90. LaMarcus Aldridge, 27 points, 9 boards. Spurs secure their 21st consecutive winning season. win number 42 on the year last night. Association's biggest game of the night was in the East, where LeBron James and the Cavs rallied to beat the conference's top seed, Toronto, 132-129. How about the line for LeBron? 35 points, 17 assists, zero turnovers. Asserting themselves again in the Eastern Conference. Madness resumes tonight. That'd be the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament Regional Semifinal Games, better known as the Sweet 16. Tonight's schedule, four games. First game of the night has the 11 seed Loyola Chicago facing the 7 seed Nevada just after 6 o'clock tonight. Then at 6:37, 7th seeded Texas A&M tips off with their matchup with 3rd seed Michigan. That's out in Los Angeles. First of the late games tips just past 8:30. That features 9 seed K-State out of the Big 12 facing Kentucky. Last game of tonight as Florida State, the 9 seed, facing 4 seed Gonzaga. That game tips just past 9 o'clock. Trying to have to stay up late, see the end of that one. In the NFL, Cowboys made their first foray into free agency, agreeing to a 2-year deal with linebacker Joe Thomas. That's right, Joe Thomas spent the last 3 seasons with the Green Bay Packers. And that's the news.
Bozo the Clown died?
Didn't see that.
Or the man who played Bozo the Clown. At 89 years young.
Buck on to him. I'm not a big Bozo fan of clowns, but...
I loved Bozo the Clown.
I thought you were afraid of clowns.
Not Bozo.
Oh, he was the exception to the rule.
Yeah, Bozo didn't make you afraid. Bozo the Clown was a friendly... He never made that clown face. You know the clown face? The one, the real serious clown face where you get real scared and wonder what the clown is thinking? Bozo never made that face. He never made that serious clown face. I loved Bozo the Clown.
Was that Bozo? I'm trying to remember what he looks like. Oh, there he is. He was pretty scary, by the way.
You were scared? Look at the dude. Look at the hair.
I don't think I've ever scared of him. Now I'm looking at him thinking he looks pretty scary to me.
Wing hair kind of got you, maybe?
Oh, I see. He's a longtime Boston TV personality.
Yes.
Bozo the Clown. All right. By the way, did you know the greater East Coast is dealing with another nor'easter?
Oh, yeah. My
brother sent me pictures from Wilmington, Delaware under... Kids are out of school. Spring in Delaware is what he sent.
It's like fourth one.
We're dealing with 80 and sunny today, and they're
fourth.
Under a snowstorm. Baseball season starts next week, for crying out loud. They're dealing with blizzards. Awesome. Glad we're here. Glad they're there. And yes, rest in peace to Bozo the Clown.
Bye, Bozo.
Frank Average.
I used to have cuffs like the cuffs, where you had those right there on the shirts. The big cuffsy.
Nice.
With the cufflinks. I love me some Bozo.
You used to rock that hair, too.
That's what my hair would look like if I grew my hair out now. That's my style.
Like the side wings?
Yeah, you'd have I'd have side
like wings. Like an old old car.
Like a B-42, yeah. That would be me right there.
That would be you. All right.
Sorry, clown.
Buck Odds and Buck Offs. You know, the clown I liked the most in my life was Ronald McDonald. I mean, Ronald McDonald was always one.
I'm way more afraid of that dude.
What do you mean?
No, man.
Big Macs and stuff? Chicken nuggets?
No,
Dude brought some dank food. How can you be afraid of him?
I'm always in on Ronald McDonald. I was always down with him.
That guy was a creeper.
Hey, you getting your fillet of fish tomorrow? I don't think you've been doing a good job of that.
You know what? I've needed some help, and no one said a word about Fridays. How many burgers do you think I've had on Friday?
BK through the glass. You need help knowing the day of the week? Is that what you're asking?
No, it's Fridays. Remember, no meat on Fridays.
I understand that.
And how you been doing with that?
I do all right with that. Okay. Yeah, get a little one of my Friday features. I'll run over to Doc's backyard and have their... They're blackened shrimp tacos. Tremendous. Tremendous.
Well, I haven't had anybody on my shoulder for that deal, and I've been not very good about that. Thank you, BK. So tomorrow
is Friday.
Which?
Today is Thursday.
And this is coming up to Palm Sunday, so I only got one more week. Right?
That's right. Yeah, Palm Sunday is
Easter's
Sunday.
Easter's next week.
Good Friday a week from tomorrow, and then Easter would be a week from Sunday. There you go.
How do you people deal with that, BK? What's going on at Easter for you?
What is you people? The Jews?
Yeah.
We have.
Did I say you people?
Yeah, you did.
Yep.
We don't shame on this show, but that's all right. our holiday of Passover actually coincides with Easter this year. It starts next Friday, so they'll do a little crossover. That's the 8 days where we can't eat bread. We go breadless, Joe Jackson, for 8 days. No bread, no corn syrup, no rice, no grains. Sucks.
Beans though, you can do beans.
Yeah,
no,
I don't know.
No, a little starchy in there.
Is that borderline?
Yeah, it's borderline. So no bagels in the morning.
All right. No bagels.
So here we go on a Thursday. So none of those headlines caught your fancy? Bozo the Clown and you people. Mm-mm. You people got you.
Yeah, no, what caught my fancy is that Sam Darnold had his pro day yesterday, and the owner of the Browns was in the stands.
With the parents. sitting with the parents, not just in the stands. Yeah,
they're taking him.
Sitting in the rain with Sam Darnold's parents. And Sam Darnold, by all accounts, including for our friend Mike Mayock, who I watched their coverage last night on NFL Network, put on a show, actually waited for it to start raining. Like it was rain in the forecast, and his throwing session, they waited till the rain actually started to come down.
He wanted to throw in the rain for him, huh?
He did. And it, by all accounts, he threw well, threw really well. And again, those scripted, that's more of a performance than anything else. I mean, you've planned for it. It's like a ice skating routine or something.
Still got to perform.
You still have to perform. Yeah. You still got to go out and deliver. And then with a wet football and all the things going on there, it was raining. I mean, it was coming down.
Yeah, they talk about his hands being little, and so it's small, so he's thrown in the rain. That's a good thing.
And he looked good. And, yeah, obviously the teams at the top, you're talking about, think about the top three picks. Browns, Giants, Jets, all three play in weather, all three play in not ideal conditions outside, you know, dog pound, New York and in New Jersey. So, you know, Darnold, I think, impressed a lot of people. Now, he's been consistently most people's number one quarterback on the board.
He's their guy, I believe.
I think he's probably going to be the next quarterback at the Cleveland Browns. I really do. And I think Tyrod Taylor is there.
Could say goodbye to his career, but he's going to be the next quarterback.
He might be the guy that turns it. We'll see.
What?
I think Cleveland's turning a corner. I think this is the year where Cleveland gets back to respectability. I've said that consistently, but I don't think they screw this up. I think you add Sam Darnold and possibly Saquon Barkley with your first two picks, or Bradley Chubb to go opposite Myles Garrett, you're on your way to being pretty good. And all the acquisitions they've made, Tyrod Taylor and Jarvis Landry, and you know, starting corner they picked up in a trade.
They got picks in the second round. They're going to get a running back. They're still going to get one of those top running backs.
Not only have picks in the second round, they have two of the first four picks of the second round. Just like they have two of the first four picks of the draft. Yeah.
So if they don't get Barkley, they're going to get one of those really good running backs that we look at.
They signed Carlos Hyde in free agency, who, you know, Carlos Hyde's a good player, only 27 years old. I mean, you could start the season next year with Carlos Hyde and Tyrod Taylor as the Browns' backfield and develop.
Carlos Hyde ran pretty well behind a bad San Francisco line.
He did. Pretty good player. And maybe not the scheme fit that Kyle Shanahan wants in San Francisco as far as his running backs go.
He's
now.
He's a thumper down in the goal line area.
Carlos Hyde's a nice player. Saquon Barkley could be a great player. And, you know, so I think Cleveland's on their way to turning the corner in my mind, not to being a Super Bowl champion. That's down the road.
Five wins. I got them still.
I got to see the entirety of this draft, and I'll give you a barometer.
They've got to not screw this up like they have so often.
This is the one. This is the year.
This is the one.
Listen to their first round pick since 2010. Joe Hayden, who had a couple of years and was off the team.
Wait a minute. Wasn't Joe Hayden an all pro at one time, though?
Yeah, and then he was not good. But that's their best one. You got Phil Taylor, who went to Baylor, who did nothing in the
terrible
league.
Pick.
Trent Richardson, who was awful. Barkavius Mingo, who was not good. Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel, who both flamed out. Danny Shelton, who is nothing.
They just traded him to New England.
Corey Coleman, who's been hurt, but you know, so far hasn't done anything. So
No quarterback, I think they like Corey Coleman. If you talk to folks in and around Cleveland,
he just keeps breaking his hand. He's a buddy of mine. He keeps breaking his hand. He can't stay on the field.
Right. And they've had no one really to throw him the football. But you put him with Jarvis Landry and Josh Gordon coming back off of his latest.
Are they going to have to pay Josh Gordon eventually here?
No, I mean, they got him on a real low rate at this point. Josh Gordon's got to go play before he's going to get paid. He's got to go play and keep on the lines. But the point was Darnold to start the conversation. I think Darnold will be the first pick. I don't think they let him get past because they know he'll be gone by four. So Sam Darnold probably secures that spot with his performance yesterday. I think the big question with the top four picks in the draft are the Giants at two. I mean, what do the Giants do? The Jets are going quarterback. Whoever, you know, they've already made their move to get into the three spot to take a QB. You know, the Giants are in a predicament where do we take our quarterback of the future because we have an aging Eli Manning, and while we're here, let's take him. Let's take a Josh Allen or a Josh Rosen or a Baker Mayfield and move forward. Or do we go ahead and take the best player available non-quarterback, which could be Saquon Barkley, which could be, you know, Bradley Chubb, the pass rusher, who people look and see he's kind of a Jadeveon Clowney meets Myles Garrett, you know, really a Von Miller, you know, type player who can bring pass rush immediately.
But Cleveland could end up with him also, correct?
Well, that's right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if the Giants go quarterback, the Jets are going quarterback. Because the other question is, would the Giants consider a trade? Buffalo's desperate to get to the top five because they want to take a quarterback as well. Because they traded Tyrod Taylor to Cleveland, they'd like to get up into that two spot. Would the Giants risk falling all the way back to 12, which is where Buffalo is? But remember, Buffalo also has the 22nd pick, so you could still have two number one picks for the Giants, plus pick up on some other picks for Buffalo to come up that high, and then Buffalo would certainly take quarterback. I mean, there's a scenario by which you could have three straight quarterbacks, meaning Cleveland could take Darnold and then whoever they want. and whether it's it's Bradley Chubb or Saquon Barkley, or you know, a lot of people love this offensive guard from Notre Dame, the mauler at the point of attack, the big kid that we saw up in Indianapolis. So they'll have their choice, and then Denver picks five, and they want quarterback two most potentially. So interesting. Sam Darnold spin it in the rain yesterday, and yes, as you said to start the conversation, the owner of the team hanging out with the parents, yesterday in the rain. That's the way that works.
Now, that's their guy.
I think Cleveland's on its way to being good. And BK's right. They can't screw this up because they have too much draft capital. They have a chance where they've already acquired pre the draft and through free agency potentially four or five starters.
Yeah, but they're not going to screw it up. They're going to fall right into it. It's just going to be – it's there.
Well, they can screw it up. I mean, I'm not going to concede that as
– Or they can take the wrong quarterback.
That's right. Yeah, they could take Josh Allen or somebody that
– Or Sam Darnold will be no good.
That's right. That's right. But the other thing they have to change in Cleveland is culture. I mean, they've got to change – how they expect to go about things. And that's where...
That's called changing the coach probably after a year.
If he doesn't get it done. And I think John Dorsey, the new general manager, comes from winning cultures in Kansas City and Green Bay before that. So we'll see. Draft is about a month out. We've got a lot coming up the next several weekends. So that'll be the final weekend of April. And yes, we'll have a plan to take you with us to draft headquarters up in Dallas. Coming up at the end of April, but that was the big news.
I just really can't see the New York Giants. All these years of looking for a running back. You've got a quarterback that's there for at least 2 years. You can find a quarterback the following year. These quarterbacks are...
Would you say that? And you keep saying they can find a quarterback next year. Well, what if they're drafting 20th next year? Then it's harder to find a quarterback at 20 than it is at 2.
Yeah, what if they have a great year because of Saquon Barkley being there?
Right. But
that's okay. Isn't that okay to have a great year?
Well, yeah, but then Eli Manning is 39.
Yeah, well, that means
he
still
don't have the quarterback of the future. Yeah. Whereas running backs are easier to come by.
But he's still good. That means he's still good if he has a great year with that running back.
Well, that's
right?
why I'm saying I always go to the Giants know more about where Eli Manning is than anybody. Is he declining? You know, can you expect just because you add the running game that all of a sudden Eli Manning's back to being what he was 5 years ago?
No, I think he declined because the offensive line was terrible and all his wide receivers got crushed last year.
I mean, that's the decision they have to make. If they feel like Eli Manning has 3 good years left in him, you probably take best player available. If they think he has declined to a point where this is kind of a touch-and-go situation with Eli, I think that's incumbent that they take quarterback because, you know, they can be better next year, finish middle of the pack, you know, whether they're fighting for a wild card in that division. And guess what? It's harder to come. Ask Buffalo what it's like when you're trying to get up to get one of these top quarterbacks when you're drafting in the middle of the first round. They're just not going to be there. So you're there. And if you really like one of these guys, probably in your best interest to take them. Like if you really grade somebody out as someone that can be our franchise quarterback, you probably need to take him now because you're sitting in that spot.
He just reminds me so much of a special running back. I mean, I know when I say a special running back, what's the longevity for a special running back? I don't know, 4 years to stay special, but 4 years is a lot of time to build your team into a guy that, you know, you just use them up, as we say, use them and then lose them.
Yeah, but you know, when you draft a franchise quarterback, you're hoping he's your quarterback for the long haul, and it's a quarterback-driven league, and they're hard to find. So again, yeah, that's the decision to be made at Giants headquarters. Jets are certainly going quarterback with their spot. And then the Browns are back on the clock at 4. Cowboys pick at 19. Cowboys signed their first free agent yesterday. Joe Thomas, not the Hall of Fame to be left tackle. Joe Thomas, a linebacker from Green Bay, is in. I guess to replace Anthony Hitchens, but he's more of a special teams guy with the Packers.
They're just showing you that we're back from the Bahamas.
I was just
baby.
Thinking of that. Maybe they came back to town, just grabbed somebody off the wire.
Yeah, you know, probably a good player. Probably nice.
It's just some depth at the linebacker.
That's right.
Spot.
They don't have much. They don't have much there. So we'll keep you posted. NFL draft, NFL offseason continues to percolate. I did notice this. So buck-ons and buck-offs today. I got to give this to our society today. So the head of CBS, apparently, the head of CBS and CBS Sports, a guy named Harold Bryant, he's an executive producer. He helps put on this March Madness tournament that comes back. Apparently he's having to defend when they put the crying kids on the broadcast. You've seen this? You know when they go to the crying kid because
sure.
their team just got upset and the kid's crying and my team lost? Yeah, he's because apparently some fans have started to describe them as lazy, cheap, and exploitive. Because they're putting crying kids on their broadcast.
The crying kid.
I know. I'm like, buck off to these snowflakes.
Where are we at in society today?
Come on, man. Yeah. Well, people, you got to show the crying kid. That's the best in the world.
The crying kid? Isn't that what we come in for? We want to see the crying kid.
Quit your crying, kid.
Yeah, I like the crying adult more than
Me too.
That's even better.
But of course, Surrender Cobra with the...
See, so but now people can jump on their social media and go complain that, oh, stop putting the crying kids on TV. Here's one right here from somebody's Twitter account, which, whether you take it serious or not, says, the crying kid shot is obsession that TV producers apparently have that needs to go away.
No.
It says, seriously, NCAA attorney, camera operators, stop with the crying kids in the stands. It's completely unfair. It's unfair to them.
You notice I don't notice
it's
much.
Unfair to them.
I notice
they're
more
the,
game. The crying little boy than the crying little girl. That
oh,
gets
yeah.
there.
Mm-hmm.
The little girl's there to have fun and everything else. Well, who cares who wins the game? But the little crying boy is the best.
Wait till Kansas loses and BK will have a shot. We'll have BK crying in his.
Speaking
in
of crying little boys.
Don't give me that. Come on, man.
We got a camera on BK to be crying. The Jayhawks went down.
Everything in my room will be broken when that happens.
Well, that's unfair. We shouldn't exploit that and put
that's
it on TV.
Call Tom McKay back again.
Except, no, we need to get to Tom McKay at AV consultation. Hey, put a little camera in there so when the Jayhawks lose and the Rock Chalky season comes to an end, we can get a shot of BK throwing things around his room. Be great.
And if they somehow make it to the...
How's that mean? That's not unfair.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
That's reality TV. It's the best thing going when people are crying or the.
Don't let your kid get so involved.
Don't
no, game.
You bring
want
your them kids involved to the game.
Hey, but guess what? That's life. Things aren't always going your way. Sometimes your team loses.
Yeah, but it's just a child. Poor child. Quit exploiting the children.
My mother of children.
There hasn't been a time that I hadn't laughed every time I saw a crying kid on
too.
TV like that. I just start laughing. Like, come on, kid.
I got kids.
It's
they
okay.
cry when things go bad.
Don't
I get
Don't take it.
It
so serious.
That Northwestern kid last
Puffing
year
up.
When they
oh
lost.
Oh, my goodness.
I was freaking out. One of my favorite ones will always be Villanova was upset in the second round a few years ago, and one of their, like, flute players was crying as she's playing the fight song after the game, and they got her on camera. Like, crying while
Did
she's
you
playing
say
the instrument.
Flute players?
Yeah.
She's crying. Well, look, they root for
the
team.
The crying kid throwing F-bombs after
where,
a loss.
Where
that's
we
what
had
we need.
Society today. Used to be the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. You got to take the good with the bad.
Yes. You Get know? Over it. Get over it, kid.
You know, going in, you could lose the game, for crying out loud.
You need to be more like a dog.
That's right.
You're going to lead a bunch of cats in here.
Come on, kid.
We'll come
Stop
back. We'll continue to talk the top stories of the day, the Buck-ons and Buck-offs. Dell Match Play. How about Dustin Johnson? He was terrible yesterday.
He hasn't played hardly that much this year, I'm telling
good.
You.
He was not good. Jordan Spieth was all right. We'll dive into that. The day one, looking into day two. Also, the madness of March. We'll actually talk about some of these games. And LeBron James' performance last night. Was that an announcement that, hey, Toronto might have the best record in the East, but we're still the team to beat in the East? We'll dive into that as well. A lot on our plate on a busy Thursday morning, 22nd of March. Glad you're with us on 104.9 on AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Thursday, B&E, that's Buck-ons and Buck-offs. Who needs a pat on the back? Who needs a kick in the rear? And a lot of folks need a little of both. I'll say Buck-on and Mother Nature day is going to be perfect. Mostly sunny, 80 degrees today, a little warmer than even yesterday. And yesterday was about as good as it gets to be outside.
It couldn't get any better than yesterday. But you say today is going to be even warmer.
Well, a little about 3 or 4 degrees warmer.
Oh, my goodness.
Tomorrow, a little more clouds and a little more humidity, but still 82. But enjoy today. It's sunny and clear and should be perfect for golf out at ACC, Austin Country Club. Day two of the Dell Match Play. We'll dive into the winners and losers coming up on that. But just absolutely, I was doing a walkthrough with our crew out at Buck's Backyard yesterday for a Horn Bash event, which is now 3 weekends out. And, boy, it's looking great out there. The grass is coming in. You know, we've been planning this thing since the fall. And, you know, the grass was all, as we've been out there so many times, that they've got, 8 acres out there in the backyard we're going to utilize in, right along Onion Creek in Buda. Hopefully you're getting signed up to be a part of that. It's going to be tremendous for the barbecue cook-off and the washer pitching tournament and the golf sharpshooter contest. And you're going to have we've decided it's not the Bucky camp out, it's the Bucky glamp out because it's more glamour than it
is
camping.
Yeah, it's more glamour.
You're going to be glamping.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's not
your,
a thing
your mattress
wrong with that.
And your silk sheets and your... Are you going to get like a humidifier and an AC unit for your tent?
All depends on temperature.
We won't call it a tent. We're going to call it like a
hospitality
room.
Yeah.
In the Xbox or something.
Yeah. We got to talk to Tom McKay about it. Well, can we get
TV
hooked up?
Set up?
Well, what do you, how are
the
you?
The clamp out. But here's what we did decide yesterday that I think is important that we need to start getting out there because we have all these competitions. You know, the whole thing is kind of built around a kind of a guy's weekend. What would you do if you all and you and your buddies went out, you'd smoke a cigar, you'd drink some cold beers, you'd play golf, you'd listen to music, you'd eat a bunch of barbecue,
play some poker,
play some cards, you'd pitch some washers, you'd play a little golf. So all that comes together. You compete with your buddies and have a good time. That's what we're doing for the Friday into Saturday on the 13th and 14th of April, and you can be a part of it. All the details at hornfm.com. But one of the things I think we should add was something you had the idea, and we can do two different things. But, you know, we do have a robust and thriving disc golf community here in Central Texas.
And I just like them so very much.
And I don't see why we couldn't on Friday afternoon, since we're going to be there and be setting up by lunchtime, be ready to go all afternoon Friday. I don't know why on Friday afternoon we couldn't do a full-scale disc golf challenge.
Oh, that means you bring them all out. Yeah.
Well, you know, they've got because it's 8 acres out there on the backyard. I mean, they've got
beautiful.
A full setup.
And they got brand new, what are those things called? The cages?
Baskets.
I guess. Whatever they have.
The holes that you throw the discs in. I think they're called baskets.
Yeah, with the spokes from a bicycle that
portable.
You throw it into.
I mean, they move. So you can probably set up the course however you want to.
I didn't know those things moved.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you can anchor them. You don't anchor them down, but you can put them wherever you
want.
You can
put lights on them at night.
Well, that
night
was an
golf.
Idea we had, too. That
except for, that's not going to work.
But, you know, we could almost do, yeah, you could, because you could do, as I was talking to Bishop out there who runs Buck's Backyard, we could put LED lights on top of a couple and do like a sharpshooting contest once it gets dark with some of the pro disc golfers.
Bring your lantern out and let's go.
Yeah, your mining light, lamp, headlight.
I know this.
Come on, man.
Those dudes that do because the cook out, because if you hit them in the head with one of those discs, they are going, there's going to be some battles going on at night out there.
I'm going to take the barbecue guys over to those people.
What?
We'll be able to open their eyes. We'll be too stoned.
We will make sure that the discs are going away from the cook-off guys. We'll be spending the night out there smoking the meat and getting it ready for judging
the next
morning.
Oh, there'll be some smoking going on.
So the glamp out will be Friday night into Saturday, and I'm thinking that Friday afternoon we do need to do Bucky's first annual disc golf challenge. I mean, that's absolutely
so
a part of this
stain
deal.
For those people.
And it'd be
speaking
over,
of those people, BK, that's what they are.
They might be some of the nicer people, just because you're
what
probably.
Do you mean?
I can be. Yeah, you people, the disc golf community. There's a robust, thriving disc golf community here that needs come on and play.
You think they listen to this?
Sure,
they do.
Sure,
they do.
They yell at us,
and they have a disdain for us too.
Disdain.
Yeah.
And I thank you. Thank you all again. I really, really mean it.
You know what I did yesterday? I was throwing the Frisbee in my backyard thinking about if I could really do this.
Well, I mean, we hadn't planned for that as we've been planning this, but we could do that. We could add that. We absolutely could do a contest. So let us know if you'd be interested in being
a
part of that.
Friday afternoon. And can you, one of you Frisbee smokers out there, tell me
Frisbee
where I can...
throwers.
Can you tell me where I can go... pick up some discs, because I need the pack. You know, I don't just hold Frisbees in my hand. I need the little pack that goes with it. That would be the bag, right?
Yeah.
Like a golf bag. I need a Frisbee bag. Where do I pick up my stuff? Because I'm going to get my gear. I'm not, you know, I don't come out there glamping. I'm going to be glamping.
We'll find out. We'll find out where you get the discs.
I have my own caddy.
Caddy? It's like a bag. You just put them in a bag.
Oh, I'm going to meet somebody. There's going to be somebody holding my bag.
So we'll get you details on that. Maybe we're going to put that together and have a Friday afternoon disc golf contest while the barbecue teams are loading in, while the poker tournaments get going on Friday afternoon. As we've been telling you, get signed up at hornfm.com, but make sure you're taking at least Friday afternoon off on the 13th so you can come out and join us and spend the afternoon in the bag. It is a beautiful piece of land along Onion Creek. On a day like yesterday, it was just lovely. That's all you just wanted to be to hang out there.
It's you just sit out there, yeah.
It's like a park. It is really nice out there. So we're excited to introduce a lot of new folks to Buck's Backyard and what goes on there.
Good place to launch Ricky's products out there, too.
Yeah, the event stage is up now. So they've got that all ready to go, the big stage in the main area. So be ready, hornfm.com. Yeah, Ricky Williams, buck on to him. Entrepreneur Ricky Williams. People will snicker. But I think 10 years from now, we're going to be saying, dang, Ricky was ahead of the curve on that deal.
Yeah, I think so.
I think Ricky,
I think so. I know he's been trying to get ahead of the curve on. I mean,
because the headline here in the Statesman says Texas legend Ricky Williams launches a marijuana company. Well, I mean, I think that's a little. It's a cannabis company that uses cannabis without the THC in it, which THC is what makes you high. But they use the natural oils and the natural cannabis to create products that people are very, very popular, very, very popular.
I understand. I got it. Yeah. I just, you know me, I have a hard time. I still have a hard time with that.
There's a big market for this type of stuff out there.
And there is.
You put a name like Ricky Williams on there, and people are might be interested.
I don't know that it'll go this way for Ricky, but remember when, what was her name? The real Jessica Alba. Remember Jessica Alba?
Oh, her products, yeah.
Jessica Alba, kind of just on her own with some business partners, started the started a company that, because she was a mother for the first time and realized that there was a market for holistic, real, like non-chemical products for your kids, right? And your babies, and they weren't available. Well, she started, she's made $1 billion on that thing, like $1 billion on her company. And I don't know if Ricky Williams is going there, but, you know, when there's a market for something, there's an interest in it, and you put a name like Ricky Williams and the real wellness, I don't think this is as frivolous as I think some are making it out to be.
No, I mean, I've had a bad back forever. If somebody told me that cannabis oil, if I had it rubbed in, and it helped my back, I would
do it. The salve?
Yeah, the salve. I would
actually.
It's got
to be proven to work, right? I mean,
yeah.
But I think they have seen, and I've not done this research, but the people that have suggest that there's great effects for using the herbs and the cannabis and in different products, and we'll see. Good for Ricky. It seems like a very serious thing.
Oh, no, that's not a joke. Ricky's business in California is not a... That's a real... He's been working on this for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Way back.
Salves, tonics, vape cartridges launching from Ricky Williams.
You're going to see these type of products at airports soon.
Yeah.
You know, the kiosks at airports and stuff when you go through, you're going to see these kind of things that...
What, right next to the Sbarro Pizza?
How do you say that?
Right next to Hoover's.
Do we have a final verdict on how to pronounce that pizza place that's in the mall and the airports?
Wait, do they still have those anymore?
Is it Sbarro? Sbarro?
I don't think so.
Sbarro? What is it?
I haven't seen that.
I've never heard it like really pronounced right. Or I don't even know what the right pronunciation is.
You know, out of all these sports topics that we have been through all week, we haven't talked about Tony Romo.
Well, he's playing golf this weekend.
He's playing golf. He's in a professional event.
That's why you Irish dance right there.
You know?
He's playing there, you know, because the top 64 players are here, which means there's a tournament, and this is the one that we've been telling you about that he got a sponsor's exemption for. Yeah, Tony Romo will be playing on the PGA Tour.
What's the name of the place that he's going?
Dominican Republic. He's playing in the DR.
Yeah, Punta Cana.
Punta
Kente?
No.
He's
saying
the Punta Kente?
No, not that.
No, you sure?
No, Romo said he's treating it very serious.
Oh, boy.
And he says, how about this? All the guys out there can relate to this. My wife will tell you she hasn't seen much of me over the last few weeks. Where you been, Tony? I'm playing golf.
Really? Yeah, he's taking this. This is supposed to be a big deal for Tony Romo. John Daly's going to be there.
It's like when you told your ex-wife you were hanging out at the lighted golf course here in Austin.
She bought into that for about the first, 2 years, about the lit course at night.
Which didn't exist. You just had to have an alibi for where you were.
I had some alcohol problems at the time. Okay, I had a problem. I had a real problem, because when you go to the extent of telling your wife there's a golf course with night lights and that you played 9 more,
we had to finish our bets.
I could sell it then, boy. When I was a drunk, I could sell it.
Yeah, Romo's going to play in the DR this weekend. He says, my wife will tell you she hasn't seen much of me over the last month, but you know me at all. You know that I care about something. I'm going to commit to it 100%.
I'm looking at disc golfers. Now, here they come. What are they doing up this early in the morning? Disc Nation off of Slaughter.
They're still up.
They're in.
From last night.
Oh,
they haven't gone to sleep yet.
You guys.
Great.
Disc Nation off Slaughter is where you can get your gear. This says Played Against Sports is a staple for disc golf supplies.
I know where that is.
Disc golf, Disc Nation between Slaughter and Manchac. But we are putting it together. We're going to add it to the rundown of things we're doing Friday afternoon, the Disc Golf Challenge at Horn Bash. Be a part of it. We'll get you details. I know you can come play with us, and then we'll probably do some kind of sharpshooter thing after dark if you're doing the glamp out. We'll do some kind of accuracy challenge.
Imagine doing that.
Yeah, because we'll put a big
really get rolling.
We'll light up one of the baskets with a big LED light and make it a lot of fun.
Can I ask
that's
you
the
frisbees?
Whole goal that whole weekend
do
is
do
fun.
Those things light up too? Can you actually have those
the frisbees?
Yeah,
I don't know. The disc golf community will tell us if there's like glow in the dark discs or something. I'm sure they're made, because then there's night golf. They do glow in the dark golf balls.
Yeah, they've got to have
actual
these discs.
Yeah. Hey, we'll come back. Tony Romo teeing it up. We've got your buck ons and buck offs today. Who needs one? Also, on the way to the timeout, how about Craig Way with the Craig Way Report?
Following a 3-day break from the madness of March, the NCAA basketball tournament resumes tonight with a Sweet 16 regional semifinals beginning in 2 of the 4 sites. At the South region in Atlanta, Nevada plays Loyola of Chicago, and Kentucky takes on Kansas State. And at the West region in Los Angeles, it's Texas A&M versus Michigan, followed by Florida State versus Gonzaga. The Texas women's basketball team is preparing for its Sweet 16 matchup against UCLA tomorrow night here in Kansas City. And Longhorns head head coach Karen Aston after seeing her team shoot over 61% from the floor in each of their first two tournament victories, knows for sure what she'd like to see continue at the Sprint Center tomorrow night against the Bruins.
Well, I definitely hope we continue to shoot the basketball at the rate that we're shooting it at. You know, 61% is not bad at all, and you don't expect to maybe shoot that high of a percentage, but I do think that we not only shot the ball well, I thought we executed well in the first two games, and I thought we showed a little more patience than what we had shown maybe in conference play down the stretch. So you'd like to continue that pace for sure.
Coming up this afternoon, we'll hear comments from one of the Longhorn players from today's Sweet 16 news conference on the matchup with UCLA. That's in our next report. I'm Craig Way.
B&E.
Buck ons and buck offs on a Thursday. A lot of conversation on the way to the break about Tony Romo. You know, this tournament he's playing in down in the Dominican Republic is no joke. I mean, the best 64 players in the world are here, but he'll be in a field that includes Angel Cabrera, Retief Goosen, John Daly.
Graham McDowell's here, I think.
Graham McDowell, Trevor Immelman, Jeff Ogilvie. I mean, good players there.
Everybody in there that could whip his ass.
Yeah, he's on a sponsor's exemption, so we'll see how that goes for our man Tony Romo. Also on the Buck On side, Buck On again to the authorities here in Central Texas and Chief Brian Manley, who's joined this show and kept us updated throughout the weeks of terror. And fortunately, it's come to an end, and a lot of great work. I was reading about the break they got, which we kind of predicted or thought might be the case when he went to the FedEx location down here in South Austin to mail.
Where they have cameras?
Yeah, they have cameras, and they also have, once they have the cameras and they have the camera of him going in and out, then they were able to triangulate his cell phone and pinpoint which cell phone was his. I mean, this is how high the technology is. This is that CSI stuff you were talking about. Because once they had a picture of him and then eyewitness accounts, they were able to triangulate from the cell phone towers what time he was there, because they had the exact time code of when he walked in, and they could then pinpoint his cell phone. And then once they had a cell phone, they could track him and go wherever he was.
I mean, this is a kid who was ready to be caught. He had a confession all ready to go. I mean, it was...
Well, they said he did the confession in between 9 and 11 the night he was killed, or going into that morning. Like, he got the sense that they were on to him, and he went on the run. And between 9, they believe between 9 and 11 that night, or just on, I guess that would have been Wednesday night, Tuesday night, he sat and did a video, 25-minute video, kind of describing the bombs and why he did it.
And much prayers to those folks that this guy has killed and their families. And when this first thing began, we tend to talk about him because I don't know much about him. I hate to talk to him by name, but, I mean, we're starting to get into a world where a 23-year-old, what does that guy have to be mad at? He hadn't been around long enough to get real mad.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
and to the families, I don't care if he's 15, that's terrible losses for the families that lost their sons, a 17-year-old and a 36-year-old man, and other people that have been hurt by this guy.
Well, I did see some criticism for the Chief Manley, which I think is unwarranted, where in the press conference last night when he talked and announced that they had this 25-minute video in which he has seen, and the authorities have seen, obviously, and he called it as close to a confession as you're going to get, that he called him a very challenged young man, and some people don't think that was harsh enough, which... You know, remember, Chief Manley's been going on about an hour sleep a night on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he didn't word that properly, but he was going out of his way to say, look, this was, from what he saw, this wasn't about hate or about race or about sending a message. This was just a troubled kid who was challenged, the way he put it. Either way, you're right. I mean, it is hate. I mean, there's hate in your, I don't care what color you are.
And that's what I said. How do you
you're
get,
killing people
randomly. How do you get to that at
randomly?
23 years old?
I don't know.
Black, white, Mexican. You're not even around long enough to be that mad, are you?
No. And who knows? And it's seen by all. Again, you always get the stories of how could this happen? No one saw this coming. He came from a great family and right there in Pflugerville. Just a terrible, terrible story. And yes,
yeah,
the story should be about the victims.
Yeah, I'm really sad for those. I mean, there was a 17-year-old kid. I mean,
to a great life.
Yeah, you go to look at the story of what he was doing. You know, they got him playing the cello. You know, he was a really good student. The 36-year-old man, these are successful people. And the guy, and this hateful young man, he's hateful. He's hateful enough to make a damn bomb.
He's a terrorist. I mean, and I don't know if it makes it better or worse or at all. You have to decide. But whether it was just random. I mean, there was no reason for it. It wasn't like, I don't like that person, so I'm going to put a bomb on their doorstep. It was just, I'm going to do this. Eventually,
his intentions were to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Each and every time.
Terror.
Every time.
Because he had something, you know, he has in a dark place, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. Eventually that video will come out once the investigation is over. I don't know that I'd like to want to see it, but it is interesting that in, I mean, the psychological profiles would be created because he, for 3 weeks, he was getting away with it. This past Sunday when the chief and the FBI agents were kind of pleading for him to reach out to them. They were looking for a break in the case because they didn't have much. And then, obviously, the FedEx
He did reach out to him. He went into a FedEx store.
That's right. That's right. Or he just got more and more brazen, feeling like, look, they're not going to catch me. Look at this. I'm getting away with all these things. They have no evidence. I'll show you. And, puts on a disguise with gloves and walks into a FedEx. I mean, obviously, that was the beginning of the end, fortunately, for him. But great work by the authorities and great work to track him down and prevent further death and carnage. And it's a terrible story. And that will be told for a long, long time in these parts. It's become a national story, and rightfully so. And again, remember the victims.
That's
more
absolutely
than anything
right.
else, and their families, and the lives cut short senselessly by a madman. All right, we'll come back when we deal with the headlines, the upsets at the Dell Match Play on day one. There were plenty. We'll tell you what that means. Also dive into our coach's corner. Take your buck-ons and buck-offs. It's B&E on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.